message as we start. The first is the reason why it's such a lively PowerPoint is because this was initially prepared for an all-age service this morning, which was going to last 15 minutes. You'll be glad to know it won't last 15 minutes tonight. It's a little bit longer. And I'm not doing the same message as I did this morning, though it's the same theme. I've tweaked it for this evening. But it is still relevant for all ages. So I just want to say that. Let's now just pray before we get started. Father God, we come before your most holy word, and it is inspired. We thank you, Lord, that every part of your word is useful for teaching, rebuking, edifying, encouraging, challenging. Lord, may you help us dig in to your word and see how it applies to our lives, how we fit into that big picture of what you've got planned for us. So open our ears, open our hearts, Lord, and prepare us as we feast. Amen. Right, so let's get started with a bit of a challenge, which is, imagine we're on a desert island. We've just crashed, shipwrecked, plane crashed, whatever you like, or don't like. What do you need to survive? Have a think. Sun cream, thank you. I didn't get that this morning. Water, thank you for the sensible answer, Ali. Yeah. Sorry? Food, yeah. Sorry? Fire, good one. Shelter, good one. Yeah, I'm hearing Bear Grylls coming through now. Any others? Yep. Internet, what's the Wi-Fi code? Good point, yeah. A phone signal would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, anything else? Sorry? Air, yes, you need air. Hope? Hope for what? Ah, there you are. It's amazing that's the last one we come up with, isn't it? The very last one that came up this morning was a boat, where somebody said a boat. And none of you mentioned God, which was very interesting. They did this morning, just saying. Not judging, I'm just saying. But it is interesting, isn't it? Because every need we think of, food, water, shelter, they're practical needs. They are needs you will need to survive. But what is the mission destination? That's what Bear Grylls would say. What is the point of survival? What is your ultimate aim? Where are you going? If you have this need, what's it ultimately for? And every day you can ask for bread, water, and shelter. These are the three basics. But let's say we are together on a desert island. Our priority must be our destination. The journey of our survival, even revival, will depend upon where we're going, what we're going to do as a group. So this isn't about you surviving as an individual, but as a group. Say we're CBC, we're on a desert island. One famous fictional desert island survivalist once said this: we've got to learn to live together, or we're going to die alone. His vision, his purpose was, we've got to survive long enough for rescue. Anybody know what that was from? Are you? Oh, I'm sorry, I'll go slower. So our list of needs before God do not usually start with this mission. Our list of needs before God normally starts with, God, I've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. And that's not an issue for God. Because if we look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus responded to people with immediate needs. But what's the destination? Not rescue, but survival is normally the answer people will give. I need to survive school. I need to survive work. I need to survive debt. I need to survive the upcoming budget. I need to survive family issues. I need to survive World War III. Some people have that fear. All of these are important. But the way we address our need will depend upon our mission destination. We're all on an island, but ultimately we all need rescue. We're all in that together. That is the same common need we share together. So that brings me to Psalm 67. Now, why out of everywhere in the Bible would we go to Psalm 67? Put that there for a second. Let's read this together, the first two verses. May God be be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Now verse 1 could be a prayer we all pray. God, please be gracious to us, bless us, see our need, look at us, show me your grace, shine your face on me, so that I know you're watching me. Now for the psalmist, this wasn't the first time he'd seen these words. The psalmist would have been inspired by these words somewhere else. Does anybody know where these words first came up in the Bible? The Aaronic blessing. Yes, not ironic, the Aaronic blessing. From which book?
Numbers.
Someone give me a guess on chapter? Seven. Close. Six. Oh, we almost went too far there. That's okay. It was number six. Very close, though. Number six. And in that blessing, we don't just read these words, may God bless us and shine his face upon us and give us peace. But actually, it is a command of God that the Israelites pray this prayer. In fact, it is a priestly blessing. God tells his people, ask me to bless you. Ask me to be gracious to you. Ask me to shine my face upon you and give you peace. That's like a parent saying, ask me for breakfast this morning. Ask me to feed you, to clothe you. When you come home, ask me to open the door and let you into the house. There's a sense that God is saying, ask me, I want to give you this goodness that I have to offer. So we have a God here who wants to give, who wants to provide. So that puts us in good stead when we come to our needs being met, doesn't it? The words here come from a time where the Israelites had just escaped Egypt. They just escaped slavery. They crossed the Red Sea. But where were they going? What was their mission destination? The Promised Land. And it was great. In fact, I asked this morning, I said, so after Egypt, where did they go? And I was told the Promised Land. I said, really? Where was the first place they went after the Red Sea, if you remember? The wilderness, the desert. And were they hungry? Were they thirsty? Were they concerned about where they might pitch their tent next? They spent 40 years wandering around the desert. They were concerned about where they were going. Their mission destination was promised by God, but they were hungry, thirsty, and they were going to face threats from nations, bigger nations from all sides. Look at verse 1. God then says to them, the mountain, telling them, pray this prayer. May God be gracious to us. May God bless us. Make his face shine upon us. Because look around us, guys. We're going to need it. I'm going to come on to the other verses in a moment. So God begins to give them the manual to life. He gives them a way forward. The Bible. Also known as a manual or a basic instruction before leaving Earth. Some have liked to call it acronym Bible. And we need to open this manual. You've never heard that before? Honestly? Wow. Your education is complete, sir. There you go. In the Bible, we troubleshoot. God gives us the troubleshooter's guide of what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with us, and it gives us a solution. Inside is the manual about how we work towards a mission destination, a new place. We're going somewhere. Our life on this earth is not meaningless, and nor is our pain and our hardship. In fact, my hope is that after this morning, this very short look, it will make us read this maybe a little bit more freshly to say, God, shine your face through your word into my life, into my situation. So the Israelites, they saw the beginnings of this manual. They were there for the first five books of the Bible. I wonder what that was like when Moses came down with the tablet he downloaded from the cloud, and shared it with the Israelites. God heard his people. In fact, he spoke to his people. His glory came down so brightly that he had to cover his glory with a cloud so they would not die. His glory was that majestic. People were so afraid. But he gave them direction. He gave them food. How did he give them food? What did he provide? Manna, which was, what's manna called? What's that? Sorry? What is it? Bread from heaven. Bread from heaven. But yes, what is it? Yes. What manna is this? Bread from heaven. He gave them water. Where did water come from? The rock. I did it quite enjoy the fact when I first read it that the first time all Moses had to do was not even hit the rock. Just hold the staff over the rock and water came out. The second time he was so annoyed with the people he whacked the rock with his staff. He was so upset. But that actually stopped him from entering the promised land. Very sad story. Again, read it all in there. It's quite an interesting journey. But after everything, the Israelites, they got food, they got water, they got shelter. And what do we read? They were happy and satisfied. And they just thanked God for this great gift. Is that what we read? You know, when I first read it as well, I remember as a teenager reading the story, I thought, my goodness, these grumble a lot. It's just like church. It was just like me. We might initially be thankful. We might even say, thank you, God, for this provision. But the food, when they didn't eat it or treat it properly, it went rotten. The water would dry up and their shelters, they never settled in the same place for too long. So they complained, they groaned, they told Moses God didn't care. No matter how much the need got satisfied, it would never be enough because their destination was not the food, the water, the shelter, but a better promised land. It was part of the journey. Their needs dictated how they related to God. Pick that up. Their needs, I need food, water, shelter, so God, you give me that and I will follow you. And then I will know you because of how you provide for my needs. But God was saying, you've got it backwards. You need to know me. And through knowing me, you will better understand your relationship with food, water, and shelter. How much more we understand the value of food when it's someone else, when we have to pay for it, when we know the cost. Instead of knowing God last, through the way he provided, the Israelites were challenged to know God as they waited for their needs to be provided. The Israelites forgot about their need for rescue, that desert island situation. They're on a journey of rescue. They knew something better awaited them. But even at one point, they complained that Egypt was better. Don't you miss Egypt? Are you insane? You know, it's just mad when you read it. But if they trusted what God said and lived according to his ways, would they know his blessing? According to this word, yes, may God be gracious to us and bless us. May his face shine on us. Essentially, what they're asking for is God's blessing. To know his blessing, they need his face to shine on them. I'm going to put this on my head. This is a head torch. This is a visual illustration I thought would be useful for this evening. So, essentially, we're saying, God, shine on me. Shine your face. What happens? Avert your eyes if you're sensitive to light. If I shine this torch into your eyes, suddenly you can't see very well. But if God shines a light into something, I'm going to turn that off now so I don't blind you all, sorry. If God's shining a light into a darkened place in your heart and in your life, what are we going to see? We're going to see those places, those things that God wants to change. We begin to become familiar with who God is, what he wants, what he desires. So another story survival I loved as a teenager was about a group of explorers lost from a long way from home. And they met a local man in that place. And he said, I'm going to go with you on this very long and dangerous journey. And this is what he said to them. This is what he offered. He said, oh, that's a torch. Bye-bye. Yeah, next one. He said, whatever you need is what I have to offer. You need a guide, I'm your guide. You need supplies, I know where to get them. I have friends with people, among people you don't even know exist. You need a cook, you haven't lived until you've tasted my cooking. It'll be my job to anticipate your needs before you know you have them. And I anticipate your first need will be me. This could be God speaking these words. Your first need is me. You need me to shine in your life so that you will see my provision as I see your need. You see, God's light, as it shines on us, it changes us. And then it reflects outward towards the world. Have you noticed that in the second verse there? In Psalm 67. I think it's on the screen, but I'm not sure, so I'll go to it first. Turn to Psalm 67 again. And that second verse. Because often we think God's blessing is about personal fulfillment, but look at what God's blessing does. That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. What God does is transforms the needs we have, even our attitudes towards them, so that people will know God. The point of God's blessing is not just for us to have our needs provided, but so that his salvation may be known among all the nations. Joni Erickson Tada, some of you will know her. She lost the use of her hands and legs in a diving accident at a young age. And she prayed earnestly for years to be healed, to have the use of her hands and legs again. She said, God, you provide good gifts. Why wouldn't you want to give me this great gift of the use of my hands and legs again? And the more she prayed, the more she sought God's provision, the more she sought God to shine his blessing into her life, the more people saw her journey of faith through her suffering and pain, and found courage to face their own suffering and pain. Johnny recently did a devotional online where she said the more she was surprised that God used her suffering and pain, her need, and the lack of its provision to help others in their need. And God was providing through her trial and trouble to help others on their journey. The light of God was shining in Johnny's life so that others may know his glory and salvation. Now, she didn't say it doesn't hurt, but she knows something better is coming. The Israelites were going to be a light to the nations. That's what that psalm actually says. Oh, too far. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Leave it there. The Israelites are going to be a light to nations. As you read through their story in the Old Testament, God makes it clear that they would be a witness through their relationship with God. That's the prayer that we've just read in verse 2. We know that the Israelites got their food, their water, their shelter, their protection. They even got their promised land. They made their final mission destination. But even then, it wasn't what they needed. They needed their hearts transforming. That was Johnny's conclusion in her testimony, that it was her heart that needed healing first. So when we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, I have this need. When we come with a broken heart or a broken life and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. We come to this prayer, this psalm, and say, Lord, be gracious to me. See my need. Bless me. Make your face shine upon me. But be careful, because when God shines his face on you, it's so that you will reflect his love, his goodness, his fruit. You see, our greatest need, our greatest light that he shines in our lives is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our number one need. He's our Bear Grylls. Our psalm, which is a command of God to pray, is sought throughout every generation in the Old Testament. And God directs each generation towards this coming true light, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9:2 and Matthew 4:16, we read, "The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned." And the light of Christ doesn't just reveal our needs from a survival perspective, how am I going to live today, but that is important, but from a rescue perspective. One of the first things he says to people when he meets them is, "Repent, for the kingdom is near." You see this relationship with his disciples and those who come to seek help and healing. He'll heal. He'll provide food. He'll provide water. He'll multiply the bread to 5,000 people plus fish and provides for their immediate need of food. How are they going to eat? He is concerned about how they're going to survive. But the mission destination resonates that they need something eternal. And this is where my last thought comes. Jesus says, I'm going to have to read it this way because it's bigger. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is our guide. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You see what Jesus brings us back towards? That eternal perspective. Lord, in my need, may your glory come through. In my need, be my light, be my water, be my bread. It's interesting, isn't it, that God gives us prayers to pray. There's one that Jesus gives his disciples and it says, "Give us today our daily bread. Give us that need, give us that provision." But this is the very last thought. And this is the very last point I want to bring. And I said it at the very beginning, at the start, from that desert survivalist who was a bit lost. What did he say? Those interesting words. He said, we've got to learn to live together. You see, any need that God's going to provide, he's going to do within the fabric of Christian community. God brought the Israelites together. He made a nation. Jesus brought the disciples together. He built the church. God calls us to be a community that looks for each other's needs, to provide for each other's needs. As you read through Acts of the Apostles, you'll read them providing for each other, watching out for each other, looking after each other. Part of God's solution for providing for our needs is in this church community. We're all on a desert island. We're all on the same need and mission for rescue. And our destination is always Jesus Christ. And that day when he returns to bring us home.